The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Today is a significant day for both Irish and French relations as Paris prepares to host the 2024 Olympics. The opening ceremony, of course, begins this evening. The French ambassador comes to the end of a pivotal role in his career. The French ambassador to Ireland, Vincent Guérin, is leaving us, and he's going to reflect on his last 4 years as ambassador and also on Ireland's relationship with his country. Ambassador, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Delighted to be back with you here today.
Well, we've had you so many times over your period, and this will be the last time unless you return to us at some future point.
Indeed, I'm leaving soon, sailing off, literally sailing with a nice ferry from Dublin to Cherbourg and then by train to Paris after 4 years, extremely rich years here in Dublin and in Ireland.
You might be lucky to catch a train, by all accounts, listening to the news headlines.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate news coming from France this morning with malicious attacks on several trucks, high-speed trucks between various regions and Paris. Somehow it looks like coordinated.
The police, of course, sabotage, basically.
Well, the police will have to tell what it was, but it was at the same time on different tracks and it's disrupting the traffic. So there will be delays to be accounted for today.
So obviously many people in France are heading to Paris for the opening ceremony. If they don't have tickets for the events, they still want to be there because the opening ceremony is in the open air. It's on the Seine. So there would be a huge attraction for people from all over France to go and see this perhaps once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yes, it's tonight at 6:30 Irish time, 7:30 Paris time. The choice was made to have something very big, very open to the public. Unlike previous edition, which were in a stadium, this time all the teams will cruise down the River Seine, 6 kilometer from upstream to downstream to the Eiffel Tower, 200 boats, close to 400,000 viewers, something completely unprecedented. The weather is nice, so it will be a great show.
Yeah. We heard that it was raining in Paris this morning.
Oh, was it?
Is that expected to clear?
I hope. I think the weather forecast is
good
nicer tonight.
Yeah. Or this evening. Now, mounting an operation like this and deciding to go out of doors and on the River Seine is a huge security challenge.
Yes, there were in a way two hazards for the Olympics. One would be weather and heat waves, which are more common now than they used to be in the past. And secondly, security. The French government has prepared now extensively. We have more than 30,000 security staff, military, police and private security guards monitoring and helping to secure the venues. All Paris bridges have been sealed off now for a week to prepare for this opening ceremony on the River Seine. And during the whole Olympics and Paralympics later on, there will be high security around all venues. And we hope that this will prevent any disruption. We have 42 Gardes supporting among other hundreds and almost thousands of police men and women from friendly countries. And they are very much welcome.
Now, the idea of the French Olympic Committee was to bring the Olympics closer to the heart of the city. How have they done that?
Various ways. As you mentioned, the opening ceremony, open air and for a very large public. The marathon, we'll have the regular marathon for the athletes. But just a few hours later, on the same parcours, we'll have an open marathon for the general public, registered, but general public nevertheless. And many venues are in iconic places of Paris, Place de la Concorde, Eiffel Tower, Les Invalides, Versailles, and this will be extremely spectacular.
Yeah, the pictures that are going to go around the world are going to be absolutely stunning. I have no doubt about that. France disappointed in the Rugby Sevens?
Well, yes, that's Rugby Seven. We had Dupont and we had very good players, but we'll see.
Like Ireland, Ireland had a problem. They met up with Fiji, who are the world champions and Olympic champions, and they were masterful. But we were gratified that Ireland managed to stay in touch. In fact, was leading in that particular game until the last. Now, you return to France, as you mentioned. You're sailing, you're going by boat and by train, if you can catch one, back to Paris to the Quai d'Orsay, where they will determine what happens to you?
Well, it's already now decided. So I've after 4 years here, and as a regular diplomat, I have to go back to my headquarters. And I've been appointed director for European affairs, which is a very interesting position to be held. So I'll stay 3-4 years in Paris dealing with European affairs, including with Ireland, and I'll be glad to.
So we may
continue.
Be talking yet again. but this is the routine, is it, that as a professional diplomat, a career diplomat, you spend a few years away, then back, very much like the Irish diplomatic service, I think.
Yes, it's very similar. And then after 3-4 years, I will probably go back to another assignment abroad. So that's something I'm looking forward to. Ireland will hold the presidency of the council in the second half of 2026. So it's coming soon now. Preparation already ongoing, and it'll be a very good pretext to come back to Ireland as EU director.
Now, you're going back to France at a time of some political turbulence, but as a career diplomat, who's in power does not necessarily affect the diplomatic service.
Indeed, we have, like in Ireland, a civil service which is neutral. We serve the government. We have now caretaker government until probably end of August. And then we'll see who is appointed prime minister with what kind of coalition in parliament.
Now, you are a friend as well as a colleague of President Macron. Can you explain his thinking when he called that election?
Well, I'm
prohibited from serving.
No, not at all. I wouldn't qualify myself as a friend. I'm a loyal servant of the government and of the president. But I had the chance indeed to welcome him here in Ireland 3 years ago, and to be present whenever he met Taoiseach Micheál Martin, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, and soon Taoiseach Simon Harris. His decision was taken, as you know, on the evening of the result of the European election early June, where we had a landslide victory in a way from the far right parties, close to 40% of the vote for the European election. And so the decision of the president was to ask for, in a way, a clarification of the intention of the French electorate during general election. So he called for a snap election, which took place in two rounds in end of June, early July, where there was somehow in the first round of our system a confirmation of this vote. But in the second round, there was a vast majority, more than 60% of the French voters, who decided against the far right.
It was a very interesting process whereby where you had three candidates and one would be, say, the far right, and then the other two might be on the left or the centre or whatever. And those candidates, the latter two, made deals in order not to split the vote and beat the far right. That was the logic.
Indeed, that's how our system can work and did very much work. This is a tactical retreat of one of the three candidates, which allows the remaining one to, with additional vote, to beat the far-right candidate.
It's very interesting to compare what goes on in the United States and what goes on in France, because if you have a president who is not of the party of the majority in the assembly, and therefore the prime minister might not be of the same political mind as the president, you have that conflict. In the same way in America, the House of Representatives and the Senate may have different political colours to the president in the White House, and you get that conflict. You have a word for it in France, cohabitation.
Indeed, cohabitation, kind of living together.
Yeah.
So, this time it will be a little bit different because, again, the most likely outcome is that we will have a government which will encompass the members of parliament of the president. So it will be a broader coalition. But we won't be really in a situation where the government is from a completely different colour than the president. But we'll see. It's nevertheless unprecedented, uncharted territory for French politics, and interesting to observe.
Interesting time. There was some speculation, probably fairly random speculation, that President Macron could resign early and therefore would be able to compete again for the presidency, even though you are limited by law to two terms.
Yes, I've seen this in some foreign correspondence in France. It's not considered as the mainstream analysis of the institutional practice in France.
Now, you've spent 4 years here and you've been quite busy, very visible as an ambassador. What are your thoughts now on your time in Ireland?
Indeed, very interesting time here. I arrived in the middle of the pandemic. Then we had still the Brexit discussion. Then came the war in Ukraine and the energy crisis, etc. So very active years where we had intense talks, political talks between the two French and Irish government, many high-level visits both ways. My main take would be to say that we have, I think, assured the in the hearts and minds a situation where France is now considered as Ireland's closest EU neighbour, something which is not just a slogan, which is reality in the talks, again, in the depth and strength of the relationship between France and Ireland. And I was always heartened to hear the Taoiseach saying that the relationship between France and Ireland have never been so strong.
And we are geographically now, given that the United Kingdom is out of the EU, we are actually physically your nearest neighbour in the EU and you are ours. But in terms of the way we do business with each other, we know there's an energy interconnector that will allow the sale by us of wind energy to France and the sale of nuclear energy from France to us. Where else do we cooperate big time?
Oh, in many areas. In academia, we have so many students from France here in Ireland. Many Irish students are going to France to study. We have as many as 125 double degree curricula between French and Irish universities. That's a record number. We have as many as 11 so-called European universities where university from France and from Ireland are part of the same consortia at European level. That's for academia. But also in terms of business, we have as many as 30,000 jobs here in Ireland, which have been created or maintained by French companies. And equally, France is the first destination of Irish investment in the EU, etc., etc. So it's a very dense and growing relationship.
Mm. There are French companies here providing, well, what is it, 30,000 jobs?
Exactly, in all industries and all counties, more or less.
Now, what do we sell each other? Obviously, we buy French wine.
Certainly, we are glad to sell French wine and to buy Irish lamb or Irish seafood, but it goes much beyond this. You would be maybe surprised to hear that the most traded good between France and Ireland are pharmaceutical or inputs for pharmaceutical. Mm-hmm. Close to 40% of our trade is in pharmaceutical. But we also, of course, sell transport equipment from aircrafts to trains to cars. One way we're glad to buy a lot of financial services also from Ireland. So it's an extremely busy trade. I'm always recalling that in terms of goods, the trade between France and Ireland is the same amount as the trade between France and Japan or France and Brazil. So it's
a very significant trade partnership. When we go to Paris, were we lucky enough to get to go to see the Olympics? Things will be locked down, as you mentioned earlier. But how much pedestrianisation has happened? I'm just thinking because later on in the programme we're going to be talking about closing off Dublin streets. I mean, Paris is, I've driven in Paris and it can be quite scary at times around the Étoile, around the Arc de Triomphe. I mean, sometimes it's hard to get off that particular roundabout. But how widespread is pedestrianisation in France?
Well, in France, pedestrianisation and kind of slow motion or active travel has been very much promoted over the last couple of years, certainly in Paris. For the Olympics alone, we have created more than 400 kilometres of cycle lane.
Will they stay?
They will stay. They are there to stay. There are more and more streets which are now for pedestrians or mainly for pedestrians or just for delivery goods. And the idea is really to encourage people to go either again through active travel or public transportation. And the public transportation system in Paris has been expanded further.
Yeah, but it's wonderful anyway. I mean, I've never taken a bus in Paris, but I've taken the metro so many times. And you can literally go anywhere.
Yes, and this metro network has been expanded, as I said, to a new destination, to Paris-Orly airport, to the west and south of Paris. So it's billions of euros have been invested, literally.
So you can get from Orly into the centre of Paris now by metro.
Yes, with a new line 14, which is a very
because my daughter lived in Paris for a couple of years, and I remember many a Sunday night when she'd be getting an Uber in from Orly, and we'd be tracking her to make sure she was safe. But now she could get the metro.
Absolutely.
Hopefully that's a safe option. Finally, I should ask you about your own memories of here. In 4 years, you must have been to many places around the country and enjoyed many experiences.
Yes, it was a very enriching experience traveling throughout the country and the island indeed, both professionally and personally. Just a few days ago, I was on Achill Island to go to Mayo, West Mayo. I was in Wexford to appoint a new honorary consul there on Monday. And 2 weeks ago, I was in Limerick. We had a very nice so-called Wild Geese Festival. So everywhere I go, as I mentioned before with you, I was encountered with a very warm welcome. The relationship between our two countries is so deeply anchored in history and so warm. It's really heartening. Landscapes are beautiful. 500,000 tourists enjoy your Irish hospitality every year, and rightly so. And I was lucky to be one of them.
Ambassador, thank you very much for joining us. That's Vincent Guérin, the outgoing ambassador of France to Ireland, and we wish you well in the next phase of your career. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.